You're listening to The Point. The Farmer and the Shark is a documentary that tells the story of Craig Kingsbury and his unforgettable influence on Jaws. The film looks at his pivotal role both on and off camera, showing how he helped shape Robert Shaw's unforgettable portrayal of Quint, the gritty shark hunter. Filmmaker John Campagnano is with us. Good to see you, John.
Thanks for having me, Mindy. I appreciate it.
All right, so Craig Kingsbury, many in the vineyard certainly know of Craig. This is a guy who is larger than life.
Yeah.
So where did this idea to do this film about Craig come from?
Well, years ago, back in 2017, my team, we knew that we wanted to make a documentary about the locals on Martha's Vineyard that had an impact on Jaws, of which there are many. And many of them are sort of the unsung heroes of Jaws. When Jaws came to Martha's Vineyard, the Hollywood people didn't know much about boats and tides and dealing with local politics and selectmen and all of the other things that they ran into. And it was, you know, a lot of the people on the vineyard that stepped up, welders, boat builders, captains, that sort of helped save the picture. And Craig was one of them. And the original idea was to tell a much bigger story about many of them in a multi-doc sort of fashion. And as that became less and less attainable, we decided to focus on Craig. We felt that Craig was the epitome of a local that stepped up and had an impact on the movie.
And boy, did he. And but you do highlight some of these other vineyarders who were part of this film, both on and off camera. So it's there's a lot about Craig, but there is also a lot of the other folks that were part of this.
That's right. Yeah, there are some other people that help sort of fill in the gaps in our story, but there's so many.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about the economy of the island at the time. This, you know, there were some were like, oh, poo-poo, here come those Hollywood people. But others were going like, woohoo, here come these Hollywood people.
Right. Well, I think, you know, nowadays people think of Martha's Vineyard as the place of presidents. And, you know, it's a very wealthy island now. And a lot of people visit from all around the world. But back in the 70s, you know, it was more of a poor community, especially in the off season. You had a lot of farmers and artists just sort of eking by to make a living. And so, you know, when Jaws showed up and they needed to rent rooms and they occupied the bars and the restaurants, you know, it was an infusion of cash. Certainly at a time in the season that they needed it. And so I think, like a lot of tourist industry communities, it was bittersweet. You know, they clogged the roads and the restaurants, but they also brought a ton of cash.
Yeah. And you have some of that reflected in the film where I don't remember what it was, one of the behind the off camera guys who said, hey, I got the down payment to buy my land to build my house. And we're not talking about McMansions here. We're talking about a modest house. So this was really a critical event for a lot of the vineyarders who were part of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the original plan was for the production to film and be out of there by the time the summer tourists came. And of course, we know that that didn't happen. They stayed through the fall. And, you know, a lot of those industries on the island were making their money for the full year in a 3-4 month window. And so they were, I think some people were happy to see them stay as long as they did.
Yeah. All right. So Craig Kingsbury, you know, somebody had said to him, hey, you got to get down here and, you know, apply to be part of this film. And he wanted nothing to do with it at first, right?
That's right. He wanted nothing to do with it. We don't mention it in the film, but Craig was the landscaper for James Cagney. And so he brushed right up against Hollywood and the West Coast people in his life. And I think he saw what they, you know, how they could be. And their attitudes and such. And I just don't think he had any patience for it.
Yeah. And then Herschel calls him up and says, hey, I'm getting paid $70 a day. And
that's right. His friend Herschel West, who is another local fisherman, called him and said, hey, I'm making money. And I think once Craig saw that he could make some money doing this, he changed his tune and went right down there to get cast for the film.
And we say right down there, I mean, literally he left the phone dangling where his daughter went going, I don't know what you said, but he's left.
That's right. Yeah. He literally dropped the phone and his wife picked it up and Herschel was still on the other line and said, what happened to Craig?
All right. So, one of the things about, Craig Kingsbury, and you've got a lot about the film, but there's a lot about his personal life too. And as you mentioned, at that time, the vineyard was a very different place in the 70s. He really had a kinship for people who were different because he was different, too.
That's right. Yeah. Craig really marched to the beat of his own drum. I mean, he's still known as being, he was barefoot year round. He was a barefoot selectman. He was really in touch with nature. And so, you know, at that time, there were a lot of sort of counterculture people were arriving on the island, artists and musicians. And I think he really connected with those people. And he was a great storyteller. So the great irony for me is that he was reluctant to be in the film, yet I think he was very natural and very comfortable being in front of the camera.
Yeah. And so he ends up being in the film as Ben Gardner, the character Ben Gardner, but he was also there to help Robert Shaw with his character. Which came first?
So he was originally hired to shadow Robert Shaw. As Craig liked to tell it, they needed someone to teach him how to be a low-life wharf rat. And they felt that Craig was perfect for that. And I think, as the story goes, he was giving and contributing so much. And I think the writers could see how eccentric and colorful he was that they just needed to find a spot for him in front of the camera as well. So then he was cast as Ben Gardner.
Yeah. And Ben Gardner was very much like Craig Kingsbury, right? The character itself.
That's right. That, Steven Spielberg really wanted the local flavor of the island. And so they saw Craig and they said, don't change a thing. A funny aside story, Herschel West, the person who called Craig to get him to come down, he was cast to be in the film. And when he came back the second time, he had shaven, he had cleaned up, he had showered, he put a suit on, and they said, no, that's all wrong. We want you the way that you were the other day.
Yeah.
So they were looking for that authenticity.
Right. And as a matter of fact, Craig Kingsbury was so much like Ben Gardner that they let him make up his own lines.
That's right. Craig, he had a lot of limericks and sayings and expressions. And rather than try to write for him, they said, you know what, we'll roll the cameras and you just do what you do. And that's what's in the film.
And it's like pure gold.
Pure gold. I mean, you couldn't, that's what I was saying. The Hollywood people that maybe had never been to the East Coast or the Vineyard, they couldn't have written that. That was organic. They were only going to get that organically from the people that were on the island.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that relationship with Craig and Robert Shaw. Two different kinds of guys, right?
Two different types of people. Robert Shaw was a classically trained English actor, very refined. Hard to see that when you see the film because Quint was such a gruff, kind of a character. But I think Craig must have been the perfect specimen for him to study from. And I think obviously Robert Shaw was a storyteller, Craig was a storyteller, and so I think that they really got along really well and liked to hear each other talk and spin yarns. Some of the stories were true, a lot of them probably weren't true. But I think Craig was the perfect case study for Robert as he was putting the Quint character together.
Yeah, there's a great story in the film where Craig chewed tobacco, right? And Craig's daughter talks about when you're working in the environment that Craig did, you don't want to light matches, so you're not going to be smoking cigarettes. You don't want that in the barn with the dry hay or on the fishing boat. So he decides he's going to teach Robert Shaw how to chew tobacco. It didn't go so well, though.
It didn't go well, and it's understandable. Shaw saw Craig chewing tobacco, and so well, I've got to chew tobacco. I've got to get some snuff. And as the story goes, Shaw put the snuff in his lip and then immediately had to spit it out and got sick because it apparently is nasty stuff. And so that's why in the film you see him chewing on a cracker in the town hall scene instead of chewing and spitting snuff because I think he had had that, once was enough for Shaw.
Right. And we learned so many fun little things about Craig in his real life. His daughter says, wherever he had a seat, he had a wastebasket or something for spitting his tobacco.
That's right. And Kristen and his daughter had siblings, and I think every once in a while, one of the siblings would have the duty of having to clean out the spittoons. And sounds like nasty
And you
stuff.
also have the one of his grandchildren in this in the show in the film, and the granddaughter talks about she was just like what too little, and he's alone with her in the kitchen, and what does he do? He teaches her to spit.
And he was very proud, as the story goes, very proud that he had taught her how to spit.
Was so funny. Talk about Steven Spielberg's take on Craig.
Well, Steven Spielberg wanted the authenticity of the locals. And so I think once he met Craig Kingsbury through the local casting director, Sherry Rhodes, I think he fell in love with him and felt that it was giving the authenticity and the look and the flavor of the film that he was going for. And so he gave Craig an enormous amount of freedom to, as we said, say whatever he wanted, write his own lines. And I think Steven felt that he really elevated the film.
Yeah. And now he had this, this look, right? The barefoot, maybe one button on his shirt or what, kind of a hillbilly look to him. But a lot of people may not know he was actually a very intelligent man.
He is, yeah. It's one of those things where you can't judge a book by its cover every time. I mean, Craig was in tune with nature. He knew about farming. He knew about scalloping, and he knew about sharks and whales. He had been on boats into New Bedford back in the day. He had oxen. He was really in touch with his surroundings, and he liked to observe, as a good storyteller does. He would observe, even as a child, he would observe the older people around him. And he used that as a good storyteller. And so he was very, very bright, perhaps not in the way that we think about an intellect, having gone to university and done this sort of stuff. But Craig was a smart person, and you weren't getting many things past him. I think he was pretty sharp.
Yeah. And talk about the storytelling. When we look at the number of skunks on Martha's Vineyard, which there are many, and there is this story that it was Craig who brought them to the vineyard. And it depends on who you talk to, right? Some say, well, he says he did, and then other times he says he didn't.
It's that's true. Craig is still today sort of credited, maybe blamed, depending on your perspective, of bringing skunks to Martha's Vineyard. And then, of course, they became prolific, and now they're everywhere. I think the jury is still out about whether that's true, and I think Craig would want it that way. I think, he would tell some people he did bring them, some people he said they did not bring them. And that's part of the lore and the fun of oral history, that it's almost in the story itself, that the magic, whether or not it's true or not, is almost irrelevant.
Yeah, we'll never know. And you have another great story in the film where one of the actors actually got sprayed, but I mean, not just sprayed, like full on sprayed, because he bent down to pet this little kitty that turned out to be a
That's right.
skunk.
That's right. Murray Hamilton, who played the mayor in Jaws, was coming back from, I think, Robert Shaw's, where I suspect they were imbibing and having a good time, and he saw what he thought was a cat and went down to pet it and was skunked, and they had to reshoot around him and change the whole production for a couple of days because he couldn't come to the set. So one of the fun ways of weaving Craig's story through the production and the lore of Craig.
Yeah. All right, here's one that you could say might be a story, but we actually have evidence that he actually did get pulled over for drunk driving with his oxen and his cart. Tell us that story.
That's right. Back in the 1930s, Craig went to deliver some wood to somebody up island and made some pit stops along the way to see friends and so forth. And each time he stopped, they were having drinks and cocktails. And so by the time he was making his way back to Vineyard Haven, where Craig's farm was and still is, he was apparently weaving around the road. And somebody called the police and said there's a lunatic on the loose with these ox. And so they pulled him over and threw him, as Craig liked to say, in the clink, or in jail. And the problem being that oxen are trained such that they won't just listen to anybody. They listen to their master, their owner. And so the oxen wouldn't move. They were in the middle of the street, and they had to let Craig back out of jail to go bring the oxen home, and had to go to court the next day, where he was a familiar face, I believe.
Yeah, and the judge was said, "Do you have any proof the oxen had been drinking?" Right.
That's right. The judge said, "Well, do you have any proof that the oxen were drinking from the same trough as Mr. Kingsbury?" Where the state police had to say, "Well, no, Your Honor, I don't." And he said, "Well, there's no rule in the statute about driving an ox cart drunk as long as the oxen were sober." And Craig got to go home.
Yeah, case dismissed. All right, so this obviously you knew that Craig Kingsbury was a character when you started out on this documentary. Were there surprises that you went, "Oh boy, I didn't know that"? I mean, what was it like to you worked closely with his family and to put this together? I imagine this was a pretty fun project.
It was really fun. And for me as a filmmaker and as an archivist, when you're documenting somebody, especially someone's life story, and the family opens the family archive to you, that was a huge surprise to me. Craig was also a great artist. I didn't know that until starting the project, that he could draw and paint. I think his granddaughter has certainly inherited that talent. And so I was surprised that, for somebody that was such a big, gruff man, he could be very knowledgeable, very delicate, very gentle. And you see that in a lot of his artwork, which is also very funny artwork. And so I was surprised to learn that about him as well.
The film is The Farmer and the Shark, and it's going to be screened Saturday, October 25th at the Martha's Vineyard Museum, and we'll have more at our website, capeandislands.org. Filmmaker and archivist John Campabiano, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mindy, for having me.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.